A very good morning to all of you. If you have a Bible, kindly turn with me to the book of John 21, reading from verse 4 to 10. And I would like to read to you from the NIV version, okay? John 21, verse 4 to 10. It says here, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Father, this morning, I want to commit the entire service to your hands. I pray for your grace to be made perfect in my weakness right now. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint this message, to challenge us, to even convict us, O Lord. And Holy Spirit, you take over the entire minds of the congregation here today, binding every distracting thoughts, or binding every concerns and worries, and release the peace of God so that they are able to receive your word from the Bible. Holy Spirit, speak to us today, bless us today. In Jesus' name I ask and I pray. Have you ever felt like you were doing everything right, but still came up empty? You prayed, you worked, you obeyed, and still nothing seemed to work. Let's look at the background of our key text. The disciples had walked with Jesus, witnessed the cross, heard the rumors of his resurrection, and yet, after everything, they went back to what was familiar. Back to the boat, back to the net, back to what they could control. And that's where the disciples are in our key text, John 21. They have gone back to fishing, back to the familiar, but all night long, their nets stay empty. It is the dawn after disappointment. The night has long been gone. Their hands are tired, their hearts are unsure, and right there, when hope feels thin, Jesus stands on the shore. They don't recognize him yet, but he's already there, waiting, watching, speaking into their failure. "Friends, have you any fish?" They answer, "No." He says, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And suddenly, the nets are so full, they can barely pull them in. And it is in this simple scene, at the water's edge, that we see three kinds of disciples: the famous, the favorite, and the faithful. And brothers and sisters, that is the title of my sermon this morning: the famous, the favorite, and the faithful. Each one responds to Jesus in a different way, and each one teaches us something about what it really means to follow him. The outline of my sermon this morning will be as follows. Number one, I want to talk about the famous, and that's Peter, the one known by men. And secondly, I want to talk about the favorite, John, the one who knew he was loved. And thirdly, I want to talk about the faithful, the others who stayed in the boat. And last but not least, the revealing Christ. Let's look at the first point, the famous, Peter, the one known by men. Among the disciples, Peter was the famous one. Everyone knew Peter's name. Peter is the loud one, the bold one, the leader. And if you ask the disciples who the famous one was, they would all point to Peter. He's the one who walked on water. He's the one who declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He's the one who promised, "Even if all fall away, I never will." Peter had passion, but he also had pride. He wanted to be strong for Jesus, but in his strength, he fell. He denied the Lord 3 times. What is the lesson we can learn from this point here, or from Peter? Shame does not protect us from failure. During the 1990s and the 2000s, the Hughes song was so famous, sweeping the entire world. And we also have world-famed evangelists like Ravi Zacharias. Even, I think, just recently in the early 1990s and 2000s, and we have even Jimmy Swaggart. I do not know whether you can still remember him. Those of you that are in the, when you are born again in the 1980s. These are all the famous group, the famous people, the famous Christians. But what happened to them? Today, you don't really see Hugh songs being played on the YouTube anymore. And if ever you see Hugh songs being played, they are all the old songs. No more release of the new songs anymore. And Ravi Zacharias, you know what happened to him? He has to close down his entire school, or rather, the daughter had to close down his entire school of leadership because he was caught in immorality while he was traveling the world as an evangelist. And Jimmy Swaggart, too, fell into immorality. These famous people that I just mentioned to you in our modern times failed like Peter did. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, not in secret, but in front of all. He fell publicly, painfully, and shamefully. And now, in John 21, our key text, we see Peter broken. Very broken. He's back to his old boat. His old lifestyle, his old vocation. Back to his old nets. The place he first met Jesus. The fame, the spotlight, the confidence, all gone. But when John, the apostle, says, "It is the Lord," Peter doesn't hesitate. He grabs his garment, dives into the sea, messy as he is, impulsive as he is, repentant as he is, yet his heart is still swimming towards Jesus. And that is the heart of the famous turned faithful. And the lesson here I want to share with you, based on the example of Peter, is this. Faithfulness begins where pride ends. Even the famous must come to a place of humility and surrender. And the one who once tried to prove his love now simply pursues it. No more proving, simply pursuing the love for Jesus. Look at what grace is doing here. It is drawing the fallen back to Jesus Christ. The lessons we can learn again from Peter is this. Fame may give you attention, but only humility brings you close to Jesus. Even the boldest leader must still come back to the waters of repentance. The famous may have a reputation before men, but Jesus wants only relationship. Not your reputation with men, but your relationship with Him. And here we see again, public failure is no barrier to divine restoration. There are some of you here, you are publicly disciplined by the church. And I pray that this message will be a timely comfort, a timely encouragement to you. Public failure is no barrier to divine restoration. If you can be like Peter, jumped into the water representing the baptism of repentance, then there will be restoration for you at the shore where Jesus is waiting for you. Sometimes God allows your nets to stay empty so your hearts, your tagi pusoon, can be full again. I want to tell you the story of a real person by the name of Ethan, and this is a real person. Ethan rose to fame almost overnight. He started a YouTube channel sharing motivational clips, clever editing, catchy music, perfect lighting. Within a year, he had millions of followers and brands begging for sponsorships. Every post got likes, every comment praised him. But over time, the pressure to stay relevant grew. He stopped spending quiet time with God. Too busy tracking analytics and followers, he began compromising, promoting products he didn't believe in, exaggerating stories for clicks. One night, a hacker deleted his entire account, years of content and fame in an instant. In the silence that followed, Ethan realized he had become famous before he became faithful. He built a platform but lost his purpose. He chased applause but forgot the audience of one, which is Jesus Christ. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their souls? Mark 8:36. Peter teaches us this lesson. It is not how loudly you start, but how humbly you return that matters. And today, I want to give you the gospel link, or the Christ-centric link. Peter's story points us to the cross. At the cross, the famous Christ became the rejected one, so that the rejected could be restored like Peter. Jesus bore Peter's denial, so Peter could bear Jesus' commission. What was Jesus' commission to him in John 21? Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. 3 times! Why did Jesus ask Peter 3 times if he loved him? Why 3 times? It was intentional. Each question healed one wound of denial. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Therefore, he needs one healing for every wound. That's why Jesus asked him 3 times, lovest thou me more than this? Each time Peter had denied, it had damaged his confidence and calling. Therefore, each question from Jesus brought confession, reaffirmed love to him, and reinstated his calling upon him. Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. At the empty tomb, God showed that our shame cannot bury his purpose, not even your failure. Christ became the failure for the famous, the curse for the cursed, and the grace for the guilty. I do not know, maybe once upon a time you were very famous, but then you fell. Or maybe some of you here, you are still suffering from the generational curse of your parents or your grandparents. Or some of you here, you're feeling very guilty because indeed you did something wrong. But the good news, the Christ-centric news to you is Christ became all this for you so that you can have the grace to be restored. Peter leaped into the water. He jumped into the water. It's a picture of baptism, the J curve, of dying to his old pride and rising up to meet the risen Lord on the beach of restoration. So this morning, you should ask yourself this question. Have I allowed my failure to keep me from running to Jesus? I do not know in what area you have failed, but have you allowed failures to keep yourself from running to Jesus? Some of you, you really failed Jesus very, very badly. Not only you failed Jesus very, very badly, you failed the church. You really disappointed your pastors and even the name and the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. Whatever reason you gave, sin is sin. Trespass is trespass. Transgression is transgression. Iniquity is iniquity. Sin is sin. Do you know what is sin? Sin is missing the mark. Do you know what is transgression? Transgression simply is defined as willful rebellion. You purposely disobey the known laws and rules and teachings of the Bible. And do you know what's iniquity? A corrupt nature, a bent nature. And do you know what is trespass? You crossed the line. Peter crossed the line. Peter became disloyal publicly. Last week, during the altar call, Pastor Tony saw a vision. That's why when I called him to take over the pulpit, he couldn't respond because he saw a vision very vivid. In the vision, he saw that while all of you were at the altar, he saw a big dog being led by Jesus Christ to the front. Now, you know the policy of ETAP. Until today, I'm not allowed to let my little puppy Chichi enter the church. Chichi comes to my office, but not the church. If ever Chichi steps one of her foot into the church, Pastor Tony would detonate by screaming at me. Because Pastor Tony felt that dogs are unclean and cannot be allowed in the sanctuary. But why the vision of a big dog being led by Jesus Christ to the altar? And Pastor Tony at that time was not specific about that vision. But the vision that God gave him was very clear. The dog that Jesus was leading to the altar call was a German shepherd. And leaders today, this is my warning to you. Many of you are like this guard dog. A German shepherd is a guard dog. Many of you who are the guard dogs of this church, the gatekeepers of this church, you are the guard dogs of this church by guarding the office, the pastoral ministry. You are the guard dogs of this church being in the eldership, guarding the policy and the behavior of the SP. You are the guard dogs of the members' life as a DJ cell leaders. Or you are the guard dogs of your department, hating whatever department that was assigned and given to you. Yet you are unclean. Like Peter, you maintain your position, but you are not maintaining your proximity to the Lord. That is why Jesus led you by the leash to come to the altar. And the altar is talking about the brazen altar of Jesus Christ, where he died as a lamb for you, and his blood was shed for you so that you can come to the cross. And in our story here is the shore to repent and be washed by the blood and let Jesus expiate for your sin, to pay for your sin. Because if Jesus does not expiate and pay for the punishment of your sin, your trespass, your transgression and your iniquity, you remain unclean. And soon, people can smell the stench of the decomposition of your spiritual life. And this is my warning to you. If you are struggling with sin, and you want a breakthrough, like the song says, God can empty out the grave. The chains can be broken. And if you come to the deep level healing, and you ask for help, Lazarus was called out of the grave. He came out, but he was bound with the grave linen. And Jesus asked people around him to unbind him. You need help. The devil lied to you. You can sin secretly and keep it secret. And therefore, you cut off your accountability to Christ and the body of Christ. You need help. And I want to tell you that if you come for the deep level healing, you are under the covering of confidentiality, and whatever you confess, there and then, it will be taken over by the Holy Spirit. There and then, the Holy Spirit will break off your chain. And because you are under the covering of confidentiality, I will not execute church discipline on you. However, if it's me sensing through somebody's warning about you, and I call you into my office, and I caught you sinning, and if you are a leader like the German shepherd, you are the guard dog of a certain department, you will have to be subject to church discipline. You cannot hide your sin anymore. Peter's failure was exposed publicly, but at the same time, he jumped to the water. He died to his pride. He doesn't want to be the famous anymore. He just wants to be faithful to the Lord. He jumped. When you jump into the water, it's a symbol of water baptism. I die to myself. And when he swam and reached the shore and got up from the water, that is resurrection. He was resurrected unto restoration and forgiveness and recommissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, those of you used to be a very well-known leader in this church and you fall. But if you just humble yourself, return to the shore of repentance, ETAP and Jesus Christ will not condemn you. Because public failure is not final. There is restoration if you repent. Number two, the favorite, John, the one who recognized his voice. John is described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He wasn't called that because Jesus loved him more. He wasn't called that because he was God's pet. No! He was called the disciples whom Jesus loved because John never forgot that he was loved. He understood God's love. I can safely say, he defined himself not by what he did for Jesus, but by what Jesus felt for him. Many of you know that God loves you. Somehow or another, when you are going through troubles and problems and abuse in your family, by your father or by your mother, you forgot. You always forgot that Jesus loves you or the Father God loves you. But not John. John never forgot he was loved. He defined himself by what Jesus felt for him, not what he did for Jesus. He didn't just work for Jesus. He rested in Jesus. He didn't just serve. He listened. He rested on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. He stood at the foot of the cross when others ran away. And now in this story, he's the first to recognize Jesus on the shore. Before the miracle, before the catch, before anyone else understands, John whispers, "It is the Lord." His heart knew that presence. His spirit knew that voice. Why did John see Jesus first? Well, the answer is, love gives you discernment. When love anchors your identity, you discern Christ, even in disguise. And what is the lesson we can learn from John? Familiarity with Jesus' heart helps you and me to recognize his voice. John wasn't chasing fame. He wasn't proving loyalty. He was simply abiding in love. And love sharpens your spiritual vision. Here are some more lessons we can learn from John. The favorite knows they are loved, not because they earn it, but because they've rested long enough to receive it. In some of your encounter with us in the office for the deep level healing, you notice some of you, I brought you back to the throne room of Jesus or the throne room of God the Father, and I let you in your inner child to go and climb out and sit on the lap of your Father. Why? Because for too long, you feel that in order to get the favor of God, you have to work for it. No, I ask you to sit on the lap of God. I'm teaching you to rest longer in the presence of God to know that He loves you. Favor is born from relationship, not performance. My ex-church always teach us, you want the favor of God, you must serve God until you die. So my performance of serving God till I die will earn the favor of God. Aren't I using human effort again to earn the grace of God? And that is oxymoron. Because grace is something given to you, not because of your own merit. It's given to you free. You want favor? It's not to work and perform. Rather, you abide in Christ. Favor is born from relationship. John has the love relationship with Jesus, always so close to Him, always abiding, connecting, remaining in Jesus' love. And when your heart stays close to Jesus, you'll recognize His presence, even in ordinary moments. Can you imagine in the moments where all of them backslided by going back to their old lifestyle, old vocation? He was the only one who can hear the voice of God. The closer you are to His heart, the quicker you will recognize His presence. John's strength was not in his position. He's an apostle, but he never relished on that, but rather in his proximity, his closeness and nearness to Jesus. He stayed close at the cross, at the empty tomb, and even at the dawn of the resurrection. Let me give you another true story of Mia. Not the Mia of our church, but the Mia of this story. Mia grew up in church, gifted with incredible voice. Everywhere she sang, people cried. She has the gift of a ministering voice. Now, when she sang, people cried, not because of a technique, but because of the presence of God. Everyone said, she's anointed. But after a while, jealousy rose among her bakadas. They said she was prideful, or that she got too much attention. Even her closest friend betrayed her, spreading rumors that cost her a worship position. Mia wept, asking, God, why are you allowing this? Then she heard the whisper of God. I'm teaching you to sing even when no one listens, to worship me, not the crowd. So Mia kept serving quietly. Years later, God opened new doors, not to fame, but to ministry that healed broken-hearted people through worship. She realized, favor is not for status. Favor is for service. The fire of affliction didn't destroy her. It purified her heart. And this is what Romans 8 says, for those who love God, all things work together for good. Today, some of you, I know you're very close to God. You have a close relationship with God. And you can see the favor of God shining and flowing in your life. But I want to tell you, the favor of God given to you is not to prep up your ego for status, but the favor of God is given to you for service. What is John teaching us? John is teaching us this lesson. You don't have to strive to be noticed by God. You just have to stay near Him. So this morning, ask yourself this question. Am I living from love, or am I still trying to earn love, like what Pastor Tony and me did for the first 26 years of our life? Always striving so hard to earn love from God and from men. So exhausting. Do you live striving for love, or do you live resting on the love of your Father God? Do you recognize Jesus in the quiet dawn moments of your life, even in the ordinary places where He stands unseen? Can you hear Him? I want to share this example, and I hope you don't judge me. I was doing grocery shopping in Ilolo Supermarket. And the queue in the cashier was very long. And my basket was also full of items. In front of me was a couple. And then I saw this man with two instant noodle scotch tape and one can of sardines. He bypassed me and went near to the couple in front of me and pretend to go near to the couple. So I was watching him, and I thought that he was part of the member of this couple. Turned out, it wasn't. The queue was very long. He cut queue because he has only two items. He cut queues, and then he was about to pay, and I came in, and I said, "Excuse me, you are not part of them, right?" He looked at me, pretend he didn't understand. And I said, "We are also waiting here very long, you know, you just cut queue. You go behind." He said, "You go behind." I'm very bastos. I'm a Singaporean. My rights are very important. I mean, I'm queuing, and then you just cut. So, he just take the thing like that. And he stand behind me. Then I didn't care. You know, I was very sublada. I also looked at that. And when I was lifting up my head, a voice came. I heard it clear and loud. "Lily, why are you so mean?" I have nothing to answer. I said, "I'm sorry, Lord." "Jacob, die!" I said, "Yes, Lord." Then I turned to him. The cashier was taking my items, and scanning it. And then I turned to him. I said, "Doc." "Give me." He looked at me. Then I took from his hand the two packets of instant noodle that is wrapped, that is scotch tape to become buy one, take one, and a can of sardines. And I took and I gave it to the cashier. I said, "Cash in." He said, "Mom, you are paying for him?" I said, "Yeah, just pay." He was standing there, nakibo. Then after that, the packer put the thing in the plastic. Then I said, "Okay, go. Say, for you, go." He was shocked. He cannot speak English. He said, "Selamat po." I said, "Okay, whatever po you are, just go." I could hear the voice of God. Even in my fallen, I'm not perfect. Even in my fallen state. John was in a backslidden boat. They were all backslidden. And yet he can hear the voice. At that very moment when my flesh took over, I heard the voice of God. "Why are you so mean?" He only has two items. It does not kill you. And instead, I paid for him. It's nothing to me. I want to ask you today, have you let the love of Jesus define you the way it defined John? Or are you defining your love for God through your performance and not through Jesus' love for you? If so, you better get the priority right. Number three, the faithful. The others who stayed in the boat. These are the rest of the disciples, the unnamed ones. We don't even know who they are. Wala ngalan nila. They didn't run ahead like Peter. They didn't recognize Jesus first like John. But they stayed in the boat, hauling the net full of fish. They took care of the harvest. And the boat represents their ministry. The boat represents the church. The other disciples that stayed in the boat represent the faithful, the ones who quietly obey, even when they don't fully understand. And Jesus told them, "Throw your net on the right side." They didn't argue. They didn't complain. They simply obeyed. And the miracle happened in their obedience. No spotlight. No title. Just simple faithfulness. And the lesson here is this: faithfulness doesn't always look exciting. Faithfulness is not glamorous, but fruitful. It is showing up when you don't feel like it. It's praying when you don't hear anything. It's loving people when it's not returned. Like now, Typhoon Yuhan is coming in. You can say, "Oh, don't go to church." No, faithfulness is even when there's rain, you still come. The famous may start very loud. The favorite may feel loved. But it is the faithful who keep rowing when the nets are heavy. And I'll tell you this truth. Jesus delights in the steady hands that keep rowing, praying, serving, and trusting. Even when they see nothing yet, they couldn't recognize Jesus. Only Peter and John. And I'll tell you this good news. Heaven keeps record of those who stay, even when no one claps for you. In the second service, we have so many unnamed disciples who arranged the chair after it was messed up by the first service people. We have many people in a hot melting pot cooking away. Their names are not mentioned. They are not seen like the musicians, the backup singers, and the worship leaders here. They are not seen. They are unseen. Let me tell you another real story. Ben. Ben worked as a night security guard in a small company. No one really noticed him. He cleaned up, checked doors, and stayed awake when everyone else was asleep. But kada gapi at ala stressa aga, during his break, he would read his Bible and pray for his co-workers by name. And when one of the co-workers fell sick, Ben visited and prayed for him in the hospital. He had no official ministry from the church. When another of his colleagues went through divorce, Ben quietly helped with the meals and care for his kids. He never preached on the stage. He never led a ministry, but he lived like Jesus every night. Years later, his boss, who had been an atheist, told others at Ben's funeral, "I never believed in God until I met the man who guarded our office." Ben was never famous nor called a favorite, but heaven called him faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. The faithful teaches us this lesson. Miracles are often caught by those who obey quietly. Can you imagine an atheist being converted to believe in God by a faithful, unknown man? And what is the gospel truth that I want to share with you today concerning the faithful is this. Faithfulness mirrors the tagipuso ni Cristo. Jesus himself was faithful. Faithful unto death, faithful to the Father's will, and faithful to his promise. Jesus did not seek fame. Jesus sought the cross. And this is the thing I want to say to you. When we remain faithful in the dark, obscurity, we mirror the faithfulness of the Savior who endured the night of Gethsemane for us. And this is the one big truth I want to tell you. Christ's crown, the corona, came through the cross. Our bunga comes through our faithfulness. So I ask you today, are you content to be faithful to God when no one notices? Do you trust that Jesus sees the unseen obedience of your heart? Or are you a person that is a person who works with eye service? Oh, you see our car coming down, then you start working just to show us that you're doing something. But even when we are not around, I trust that there are people, even though you're not given an official ministry, by yourself, on your own, you reach out to the people that you're in touch with to bring them to the Lord. This faithful one stayed in the ministry. They are the one who brought the harvest to the shore. And ETAP needs this group of people a lot. I don't need the famous. I don't need the favored. I need the faithful to stay in the boat, to cast the net according to the command of God, according to the instruction of God, and to haul it in and row the boat back to the shore. That is the group that I want God to raise from this church. Last but not least, the revealing Christ. One Lord, three respond. And here's the beauty. Jesus loved all three kinds of them. We have alarm coming in. The famous, the favorite, and the faithful. Jesus didn't reject Peter for failing. He didn't elevate John for being close. He didn't forget the others who kept working. He cooked breakfast for all of them. Fish on the fire, bread on the shore, grace served with tenderness. The same Jesus who stood for the confident stood for the broken. The same Jesus who loved the discerning loved the obedient. Why? Because in God's kingdom, fame fades, favor flows, but faithfulness endures. Hallelujah. Notice, each disciple experiences Jesus differently, but the same Jesus stands before them all. To Peter, Jesus is the restorer of the fallen. To John, Jesus is the revelation of love. To the others, those that stayed in the boat, he is the rewarder of the faithful. They came in with a net full of fishes. And this is the Christ-centric center of the story. The unchanging Christ meeting different hearts in different ways. Jesus is not waiting for perfection. He's waiting for participation. Jesus does not choose the qualified. Rather, he qualifies the chosen. It is he that chose you. It is he that qualifies you. Not you working so hard to qualify yourself with the favor of God. Jesus stands on every shore. The shore of our guilt. The shore of our failure. The shore of our confusion. The shore of our ordinary lives. Calling us to throw our nets again in faith. Proactively, you must get engaged. Be involved in the ministry. Throw the net on the right side. So who are you in this story? Are you Peter? Passionate once but broken now. Longing for restoration after failure. Jesus says to you, the one that are like Peter, come to me. I can still use you. Are you like John? Sensitive to God's presence. Resting in the love that never leaves. Then Jesus says to you, stay near my heart. I will show myself to you. Or are you one of the faithful, unseen and unnoticed, still quietly obeying with no recognition? Jesus says, keep casting. I see your obedience. Whatever our place, the goal is the same. What is it? To behold Christ. He is the center. Not our fame, not our feelings, not our faithfulness, but his faithfulness to us. In conclusion, when the dawn broke that morning, it wasn't about who caught the most fish or who saw Jesus first or who jumped in first. It was about who waited on the shore. And his name is Jesus. The one who still meets us at daybreak, still calls us friends, still fills our empty nets with grace. The world celebrates the famous. Religion honors the favored, but heaven crowns the faithful because Christ himself, his name is faithful and true. So whether your name is known or not, whether your gift is seen or hidden, whether your place is clean or broken, Jesus is still calling you saying, come and have breakfast with me. John 21 verse 11. So the only fame that matters today is making Jesus known. The only favor that counts is being found abiding in his love. And the only faithfulness that lasts is the one anchored in the finished work of Christ. Not your effort, but the finished work of Christ. And when you reach the shore of heaven one day, God the Father will say, well done, thou good and faithful one. For in heaven's eyes, the crown is not for the famous or the favored, but the crown is for the faithful. Let us all be faithful to the Lord. Don't seek to want to be called a pastor in a full-time staff. Don't seek to be in the elder board. Don't seek to be the top leader, HOD, or even the DJ cell leader. Whatever or whatever you have, be obedient. Cast the net. Take care of the harvest. Stay in the church. Stay in the ministry and bring in the harvest to offer it to Jesus in the shore of restoration, in a shore of welcome. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you are the Christ who stood on the shore of our failure. And this morning you call us friends where we have nothing to offer you like Peter. And I pray, O Lord Jesus, for those who are very famous in this church and yet who have fallen, that you restore them. And for those who have a very close relationship with you, known as the favored one, I pray, deepen their relationship further with you. And for the faithful who have endured in obscurity, in insignificance, I pray that you strengthen them. And I ask you, Jesus, this morning to teach us to be all three. Passionate like Peter, intimate like John, and obedient like the others. teach us today, Lord, to find our identity, not in what we do, but in who you are. Help us to repent from chasing applause, seeking your approval. And let your cross this morning humble us. Let your resurrection empower us. And let your faithfulness sustain us. I want all of you to stand. And I want you to ask yourself, which category are you? Are you the famous one? You started with a bang, but then now you fizzle off in failure. There are certain churches in Ilolo, they start with a big bang. You call that bonga bonga. And recently a scandal broke out, public scandal. It's God trying to tell them, fame is nothing in his eyes, but those who are faithful in keeping close to the doctrines of the Bible and doing the work of the harvest. If you want to be faithful, and if you want to be obedient to the Lord again, and if you have failed, like Peter, publicly, with all your shame, humiliation, I ask you also to obey the prophetic vision of Pastor Tony, to be like that gut dog, unclean, led by Jesus to come all the way to the altar, to offer your sin offering, your trespass offering. You cross the line so that you can be forgiven, cleansed, and be restored, and to be reused again one more time by the Lord. And if this is your prayer, the altar is open. Alright, the front is a bit cramped. Go to the right and the left side. Thank you, Lord. Come, let's not wait for one.